All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. It's been a little while since we've had the shir. Hopefully, everyone had a. I don't know when was the last time we had our shir. Oh, I guess before the Yamim Noraim we had a little bit. Okay, so not so long ago. So hopefully, everyone had a beautiful and uplifting Yamim Noraim, beautiful beginning and start to Chodesh Cheshvan, and we once again find ourselves in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis. So I'll tell you something amazing. You know, as I was thinking about the shiurim that I wanted to give this year, so I thought to myself, you know, we've been doing this Wednesday night Parsha Shir for a very long time. And I said, you know, maybe it's a good idea to move off Parsha and to do something else. But then you come to the Parshios of Bereishis, and the stories are so gripping and so overwhelming, and every time you see something new and experience something new, that it's hard to break away from them. So at least for now, we're going to continue a little bit in focusing on the parasha. So I want to draw your attention to the beginning of this week's parasha. The Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha mi'beis avicha, ala aretz asha'araka." So it's a beginning that we are all familiar with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, leave your land, your birthplace, the house of your father, and go to the land that I will show you. V'eschala goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. V'avarechecha, I will bless you. V'agadlo shemecha, I'll make your name great. V'yebracha, you will be a blessing. V'avarcha mevarechecha, those who bless you will be blessed. U'mikhalalelcha, or those who go ahead and curse you will be cursed. And all the nations of the world, all the families of the world, will be blessed through you. So psukim that we are all familiar with, according to most opinions, this is the first of Avraham Avinu's 10 tests. There's some dispute as to what exactly comprises the 10 tests, but according to most opinions, Lech Lecha is the first of the 10 nisyonos. The first of the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, a willingness to get up and leave everything he knew, venture into the great unknown, again, and total unknown, not even knowing exactly what land he's going to, but nevertheless, going forth. So I want to focus on a very simple question. The Rabbeinu Bachya in number 2 raises this question. He says, there's something strange about this story. He writes, V'da, ki kodem sheyaskir ha-kasu v'yomer Hashem al Avram, Hayaroi lohodienu ma'alosav umidosav kedeshenakir mihu va'acharekach yaskir hadibor kikain asa benoach. So Rabbeinu Bachya raises something amazing. He says the Torah, what's our introduction to Avraham Avinu? Our introduction is Lech Lecha. That's our introduction. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, when you look at the Torah and the Torah introduces us to great people, there's always background. There's always background. Probably the greatest example of this is who? Is Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember again, we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu when? We're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu in utero, right? When his mother becomes pregnant. Then we're introduced ultimately to when he's born. The whole episode with the Nile, with the basket, with Masya. We follow him growing up. We see him going out into the fields, killing the Egyptian taskmaster, fleeing to Midian. This was Moshe Rabbeinu as a regular guy. When does Moshe Rabbeinu transition to the leader of Am Yisrael? What event transitions him? The snap, the burning bush, right? That was the transition. But the Torah goes out of its way to give us the entire biographical sketch of Moshe. Why is that biographical sketch necessary? Because it gives me an insight as to who Moshe is. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? What makes him so special? So we begin to see he's the product of chesed. He's a product of optimism. His parents had split up because, again, they had given up hope of being able to raise a normal family. They came back together, hope and optimism. He's raised by Bitya, by Basya, by the daughter of Paro, a woman who exhibited incredible chesed in taking a Jewish baby out of the Nile. We see empathy, the way he stuck up for the oppressed Jew. We see further empathy, defending Tzipora from the shepherds. We see all these details about his personality so that when he's chosen and he accomplishes great things, we understand where those qualities come from. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, what do we know about Avraham Avinu when God tells him Lech Lecha? What do we know about him?
Nothing.
Nothing. Even Noach. Go back to last week's parasha. Ela told us Noach ish tzaddik. Okay, I don't know that all that much about Noach, but I know that he's righteous. And Avraham Avinu, boom. Avraham, Lech Lecha. Who is he? Who is this person? Who is this individual? Where did he come from? So that's the fundamental question I want to try to focus on today, tonight, is why was Avram Avinu chosen? You see, the Torah doesn't give us, you see, let me give a little bit of background. The Beis Yaakov of Passaic was doing their class trip to Washington, D.C. So they were actually just here at 7 o'clock tonight. I spoke to them tonight. 11th and 12th grade. Wonderful, special young women. So we were speaking to them about this concept. I was speaking to them about Emunah, but I don't know how I came to it. Some tangent that I went on. It's just when focusing on these stories of Bereshis, if you really want to glean the maximum amount from it, pretend like you're seeing it for the first time. You see, we often approach these kind of stories in a different way because we know the ending. But imagine you're looking at this for the first time. You're being introduced to Avram Avinu right here on this page. Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha. Why Avram? Why not Sarah? It's a woman's shear, I'll put it right. Why not Sarah? Right? Well, why not Lot? Why not someone else? What's special? Where have we seen anything special about Avram Avinu that he should be the one who's chosen? And the follow-up question to that, which is always something that intrigues me in general when it comes to Bereshis, but it's really the entire Torah, is from the perspective of the Torah, what makes great people great? It's a question I like to very much to read biographies of great people because I always find it fascinating to see the qualities that make great people great. What from a biblical perspective, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, what makes great people great? What are the identifying traits for godliness, for greatness? So really those two questions are one and the same. Why was Avram Avinu chosen? The Torah doesn't seem to indicate to us why. And kind of the follow-up to that is, what are the qualities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in Avram that made him choose Avram? And in essence, what are the qualities that make great people great? So we're going to go in a couple of different directions. Take a look at number three. So Rabbi Nubachi answers his own question. He says, Aval Yesh Lomar, number three, Kvar Gila Lanu HaKasel BeParsha Shal Ma'ala, Ama'aloso HaGedolo BeRemez BeMilas, or Kastim. So the truth is, realistically, we are already introduced to Avram Avinu in last week's parsha, right? At the end of Parshas Noach, we're introduced to Avram Avinu, but albeit in a genealogical sense. So we're told Avram Avinu's father, his mishpacha, and we are told that he was from the city of Ur Kasdim. Rashi points out, why do I have to know about Ur Kasdim? So if you look at number four, Rashi says, O medrash agada yesh omrim sha'al yidei aviv meis, Shekibel Terach al Avram beno lifnei Nimrod al Shekises es Slamav v'Shlicho l'Kiv Shanaish. You know this story. This is where Terach was an idol merchant, an avodah zara, an idol merchant. He left Avram Avinu in charge of the store one day. You're familiar with this story. Avram Avinu smashed all the idols, placed the club in the hands of the large idol. Terach comes back from lunch. Avram, what happened? Avram says, it wasn't me. The idols got into a fight. The big idol smashed the small idols. Terach says, that's ridiculous. Avram Avinu says, exactly. So father, why do you believe in all of this stuff? So we'll come back to Terach in a little while. But Terach turns Avram over to Nimrod. And Nimrod was the reigning monarch, regional monarch. And Nimrod says to Avram, here's your choice. Either accept polytheism or die or get thrown into the furnace. Avram Avinu chooses the furnace. He chooses the furnace. So the Rabbeinu Bachya says, we already know everything we have to know about Avram Avinu. And from two words, or custom. Who was Avram? Avram was the man who was willing to be thrown into the furnace for his beliefs. What more do you need to know about the individual? Or stated a little bit differently, says Rabbeinu Bachya, why was Avram Avinu chosen? Because he was willing to die for his beliefs. He was willing to give everything for what he believed in. You know, a lot of us have beliefs. And we maintain those beliefs as long as what? We're talking amongst friends here. As long as what? As long as it's convenient, right? So I'm happy to be a very principled person as long as it's convenient. The moment that my principles are no longer convenient is the moment that, well, I don't know that I really hold that way. Or is that what really God wants of me? Suddenly become waxing so philosophical, right? Is that really Hashem Baruch wants? Hashem Baruch care? It's an incredible thing. And the truth is we do this all the time in a variety of different ways. if you ask a person to list their value, their core values, their core personal, religious, philosophical life values, we could all come up with a good list. The follow-up exercise is, do you always maintain fidelity and allegiance to those values? If you were to write your life mission statement, do you always maintain fidelity and allegiance to that mission statement? And the truth is, for most of us, the answer is much of the time, but not all of the time. And one of the times that I don't maintain allegiance and fidelity to my values is generally just when it becomes too difficult, or I'm on vacation. One of those two things, right? It's just not convenient for me to do this right now. What makes great people great is they always live by their values. Remember, I want to point something out over here. The greatness of Avraham Avinu was not his willingness to dial Kiddush Hashem. We've spoken about this many times. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this. Rabbi Lau speaks about this. People like to extol the virtue of dying al Kiddush Hashem. The truth is, this was going to sound a little bit strange, it's easy to die al Kiddush Hashem because you only have to summon up the courage to do it once. Living al Kiddush Hashem is much more complicated because that I have to struggle with day in and day out. Not chas v'shalom, you of course understand. I'm saying a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. Not minimizing at all the sacrifice of dying al-Kiddush Hashem. But the point is, we often think that dying al-Kiddush Hashem is the ultimate sacrifice. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Lau, both write about this in different contexts. Living al-Kiddush Hashem is a much taller order. That's a daily sacrifice. The greatness of Ramayinu was not just that he was willing to die for God. It's he was willing to die for God, but he lived for God as well. Avraham Avinu was a person who espoused principles and remained true to those principles. He never veered. And we see that over and over and over again. Avraham Avinu is a man who honors his God, a man who honors his relationships, a man who honors his commitments, a man whose sole purpose he feels is to spread the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the world, and it does whatever he can to maintain fidelity to that idea. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, Torah does introduce us to Avraham Avinu. Not a long introduction, not a Moshe Rabbeinu-like introduction, two words, or kasdan. Anything and everything you need to know about Avraham Avinu is contained in that midrashic story in Rashi number 4. He was a man who held to his values and never compromised them no matter what. And that, if you think about what makes great people great, is that they maintain fidelity and allegiance to their values. Sometimes we have a little bit of a fluid value system. This is my value, except when it's not. Right? Or this is my belief, except when it's not. And by the way, it's problematic on many levels. It's problematic if a person is raising children. It's problematic to have fluid values because children often just see the inconsistencies in that and it wreaks havoc. And it's difficult for your own growth. If you don't maintain constant fidelity to your values, then what do you believe in? What do you believe in? Then who are you? The greatness of Avraham Avinu or Kasten? That's one answer. Second approach, the Sfas Emes. The Ger Rebbe here says something absolutely amazing. He quotes number 5, Ramban Hiksha Shnemar Lech Lecha, Beli Sheniskar Mikodem Chibaso. So again, Sfas Emes, same question. How is it that God doesn't introduce us to Avraham Avinu before just saying Lech Lecha? And the Sfas Emes provides an incredible answer, an overwhelming answer. Ubezar HaKadosh Nira, Ki Zeh Atzmo HaShevach Sheshama Zeh HaMa'amar Lech Lecha, שנאמר מהשם יסברך לכל האנשים תמיד, כמו שכסו וי לאינון דשינסי בחוריהן, וארם אבינו עליו השלום שמה וקיבל. So the Sfas Emes quotes the Zohar, and the Zohar, it's a very enigmatic Zohar. It's enigmatic because it flies in the face of the story as we know it. We often assume that how did the story unfold? Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha. God chooses Avram. And so we're trying to figure out why did God choose Avram? The Sfas Emes quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says, no, here's how it happened. God was calling out, Lech Lecha. God was looking for someone. Who wants to be the ambassador of God in this world? Who wants to be the mouthpiece of God in this world? Who wants to spread monotheism to anywhere and everywhere? Kadosh Baruch Hu was looking for someone. He puts out the call, Lech Lecha. So what happened? Avraham Avinu was not the first person to hear Lech Lecha. Many people heard Lech Lecha. But what? You know, whatever it was, they were uninterested, they were too busy, it wasn't a good time, whatever the situation is, people heard God yelling out, crying out, Lech Lecha, for many, many, many years. Avraham Avinu was the first one to say, okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. It's very reminiscent of which story? We just alluded to it before. Bless you. The Sneh. Remember again, what happens by the Sneh? Moshe Rabbeinu is minding his own business in Midian. He's shepherding the flock. And what happens? What happens? He sees the burning bush. And what does the pasuk say? V'husar liros. He turned to go see the burning bush. The Zohar writes there also, that bush was burning for a long time. It was burning for a long time. And people passed by and said, oh, that's very interesting, a burning bush, and it's not being consumed. Fascinating. Let's move on. Right? Because a lot of times, there's stuff that goes on. There's stuff that goes on, and we just don't pay attention to it. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first person who said, what's going on over here? V'husar liros. He stopped what he was doing, and he went to go see what was going on. So says the Sfas is something absolutely amazing. Do you know why there's no introduction to Avraham Avinu? Get ready for this. Why no introduction to Avraham Avinu? Because God didn't choose Avraham. Avraham chose God. God didn't choose Avraham. Avraham chose God. The Torah gives introductions to people who God chooses for as his messengers. But then there are some unique individuals who are not chosen by God, but voluntarily sign up for a lifetime of service. That was Avraham Avinu. Raku, aval bevadei ze hashevach ba'atzmo, shehaya muchon lekabel hama'amar. Says something absolutely amazing. Avraham Avinu chose to listen. He wasn't the first one to hear Lech Lecha, just like Moshe wasn't the first one to see the burning bush, but Avraham Avinu was the first one to say, what's going on over here? And if God needs someone to go, I will answer the call. Lesson number two, a second ingredient of greatness is a willingness to step up. Greatness often doesn't find you. You have to go and find greatness. People who are seeking greatness in life go out and search for opportunities. They go out and they look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They live life with their eyes and their ears open, looking for the messages and the missions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So far we have two answers. Why doesn't the Torah introduce us to Avraham Avinu? Rabbeinu Bachya says it does. Where does it introduce us to him? Or cast him? Sfas Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah doesn't introduce us to Avraham Avinu. Why? Because God didn't choose Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu chose God. And so far we see two ingredients for the recipe of greatness. Number one, be willing to live, not just die, but be willing to live in accordance with your beliefs. And don't veer, and don't compromise, and stand strong. Compromise when you have to compromise. I mean, don't compromise on your beliefs, right? Stand strong for what you believe in, stand firm for what you believe in. Ingredient number two of greatness: don't wait for greatness to come to you. Go out and seek out the opportunities. If you look at number six, I want to share with you a third approach. And this third approach is what we're going to spend the remainder of our time on for this evening. This is from the Sefer Ma'or V'Shemesh, which was written by Rav Klona Miskalman Alevi Epstein, who was born in Krakow in 1751 and died in 1823. Ma'or V'Shemesh is one of the very important svarim in Hasidic literature. See, he writes as follows. He quotes an amazing medrash. If you take a look, this is number six, paragraph Aleph. But medrash Rabbah, Parsha Lamites. Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi said as follows. Kishe Avraham Avinu Alav Hashalom Holich Baram Narayim V'ra Osam Pochzin V'ochlin V'shosin. Avraham Avinu was traveling around. Now, this is in line with the medrash that says, that discusses how, you know, the great question is, how did Avram find God, right? The great unknown? So the midrashic approach is, Avram Avinu kind of just wandered around, and he took in the world. And by taking in the world, he was able to go ahead and understand things, till he came to a recognition that there must be a Ribono Shel Olam, there must be a God. So this medrash picks up on that theme. Avram Avinu was walking out the Aram Na'arayim, and what does he see? V'ra osam pochsin ochlin v'shosin. He sees the people in Aram Na'arayim, and they're living it up, right? They're eating, they're drinking, they're engaging in frivolous things. And what does he say? Amar, halavai lo yihi ali chelek be'eretz hazos. Avinu says, I don't want to live in this land. This is not the place for me. These people are too embedded in materialism. They're too embedded in a hedonistic lifestyle. I don't want this. There must be more to life than just eating and drinking and having a good time. Okay? Continues his travels. Kevan shegila sulama shel tzor, v'ra osam oskim benichosh b'shas hanichosh, v'odrin b'shas ha'idor. So now what happens? He comes to sulama shel tzor. So he comes to the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael. And what does he see when he looks into the land of Israel? This is an amazing medrash. He sees people engaging in nichosh. Nichosh means pruning or weeding. Pruning or weeding, right? I'm sorry? That's with a ches, not a chaf. Right? So he sees them engaging in pruning and weeding, right? At the time when it's appropriate to prune and to weed. V'odrin b'shas ha'idor. And literally, odrin is hoeing or plowing. He sees them plowing. So he sees them pruning and plowing. Avraham Avinu sees this, and what does he say? Amar, halavai yi'ali chelek ba'aretz hazos. Avraham says, wow, they're pruning and they're plowing. This is the place for me. Right? I want to live in this land. From Allah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'zarachana sati esa aretz hazos ad kan lashono. An incredibly dramatic medrash. Right? So the medrash, Avraham Avinu goes, he's walking on Ram Narayim, people are eating, drinking, living in a hedonistic way. Not for me. Comes to Eretz, he saw Eretz Canaan, he sees them pruning and plowing. Wow, this is the land for me. So asks the Marav HaShemesh, paragraph base, HaMedrash HaZeh Omer Darshuni. So obviously, what does this medrash mean? You know, if you would have told me that Avraham Avinu gets to the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael and he feels blanketed by a wave of spirituality, he feels the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what it says. What apparently was incredible to him about the land, the pruning, and the plowing. Avraham Avinu sees the pruning and plowing. This is the place for me. Asks the Ma'arva Shemesh, what does that mean? Now, the Ma'arva Shemesh asks a more technical question. He says, in an agricultural, from an agricultural perspective, the first thing you do is the plowing. So in other words, assuming you're starting with a field, right? You have virgin soil. So the first thing you're starting with is plowing. Weeding comes along when? After you've plowed, planted, then subsequently you weed and you prune. But pruning and weeding is usually done after plowing. Yet in the Medrash, the order seems to be important. First, Avraham Avinu sees the pruning and the weeding, and he extols that, and then he extols the plowing. So why the change in the order? So turn the page, paragraph Gimel, Minira. So writes the Ma'arav HaShemesh, and this actually is an incredible piece. Just that even aside from the parsha, you're going to see the insight that he provides is really amazing. Vinira, Tihini Adom is Sifrei HaKodesh. We all know from Sifrei HaKodesh, Sfar Makedoshim, Demetrila Ayir Pera Adam Yivaleid. Ve'in lo Yitzra Tov, Rak Yitzra Hara, Ad Yud Gimel Shorim Shinase Bar Mitzvah. So here the Ma'arav HaShemesh says something absolutely amazing. When we are born, right, until the age of Bar or Bas Mitzvah, I don't have a Yetzer HaTov. I don't have, well, I guess what we translate as a good inclination. The only thing I have is what? Is a Yetzer HaRa. Now, what I do want to point out is this is also subject to significant dispute. But again, you'll see the theme that he develops here, which is amazing. So from the time that I'm born until I reach the age of some level of a Jewish adulthood, Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, all I have is a Yetzer HaRa. That's all I have is Yetzer HaRa. I get my Yetzer HaTov at the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. As boy love Yetzer HaTov. Then the good inclination comes. Umas Tzchil B'Mitzvahs Tfilin. As Misorer Libo B'Kirbo La'avodas Hashem Yisbarach La'at La'at. So by the way, just to see this through, what does this mean? That until the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, I have a Yetzer HaRa, but not a Yetzer HaTov. What does that mean? From the Ma'arav HaShemesh's perspective, Tov in a person comes from what? What is Tov generated by? Mitzvos. Dynamic spiritual activity. A child does not have an obligation to engage in any dynamic spiritual activity. As such, a child doesn't have a Yetzer HaTov, just the Yetzer HaRa. When I became a Bar Bas Mitzvah, now suddenly I have religious rights and obligations, that those activities create a Yetzer HaTov, create a positive energy inside of me. Watch this. He goes on, he says, Aval hu adayin malei pinios u bilbulei machshavos. But here's the problem. So the child has reached the age of bar bas mitzvah. Wonderful. Now they're obligated to the mitzvahs. They begin to do things, and they begin to create this positive energy inside of them. What's the problem? They've got 12 or 30 or 11 or 12 years of other stuff now to undo. It's great that I'm going ahead and developing the positive energy as a bar bas mitzvah. But what about all the negativity that I've accumulated in my childhood? Al kein hachiyuv mutal al mi shechafetzu uritzono lekasheres atzal b'yisbar shemo. Says the Ma'ar Vashemesh something absolutely amazing. Therefore, it turns out that in the pathway to spiritual growth, it is not enough to engage in dynamic, positive activity. But what do I have to do? I have to uproot the negative stuff as well. There's stuff that has taken root inside of me that's not good. And so at the end of the day, I can go ahead and do as much positive things that I want to do. But until I uproot the negativity, then at the end of the day, nothing positive could truly flourish. It's the same. So now you begin to understand the planting metaphor, right? If you have a garden, you could plant whatever you want, right? The most wonderful fruits and vegetables, fantastic. But if you don't weed, then what does that do? That impedes the growth of the things that you want. It's never enough just to plant what you want. You have to remove the weeds that are sprouting up all over the place. Because if you don't, those weeds will take the very nutrients that are meant for the fruits and vegetables you want to grow. Says the Ma'ar Vashemesh something absolutely amazing. We often think that in the cultivation of a meaningful religious and spiritual identity, my job is to engage in dynamic, spiritual, positive growth. And that is true. But simultaneously, or we'll see if it's simultaneously or not, there also has to be weeding. All of us need to do weeding. Because there are weeds that come up in the garden. There are weeds of negative character traits. There are weeds of negative behaviors. There are weeds of negative tendencies. So a lot of times what I just want to do is just buy more Miracle Grow for the fruits and vegetables. I don't want to deal with the weeds. I just want to go. I'll tell you, a number of summers ago, there was someone from the shul. Actually, it was Dr. Michael Claff, who grew up, I don't know where he grew up, somewhere I think in Virginia. And he was very distressed that we didn't have a vegetable garden in our house. So he's like, could we plant a vegetable garden? I said, Dr. Claff, everything depends on what you mean by we. If you would like to plant a vegetable garden, I'm happy to give you the space. And he's like, good, I'll do it with your kids. Fantastic. I said, just be prepared. It's going to become your job. Right? Silvers are known for many things. A green thumb is not one of them. But what was amazing, one of the major lessons that my children were able to, that I was able to see firsthand, is what the Ma'ar Vashemesh is describing. That you could have a vegetable patch, and he planted everything. He planted corn and watermelons and everything. I mean, the deer ate most of it, but he planted it, but it was amazing. But we didn't weed. And when you don't weed, what happens? The whole thing becomes an eyesore. And it's incredible. Because if you sift through the weeds, there's delicious fruit and vegetables right there, ready to be consumed, ready to benefit you and your family. But you have to clear away the weeds to be able to see what's really there. Says the Ma'ar Vashemesh, all of us like to plant the fruits and vegetables and water and nourish the fruits and vegetables, the positive dynamic activity. That's fun. That's enjoyable. No one really enjoys weeding. But if you don't weed, if you don't identify and uproot the things that are sapping your vitality, the things that are holding you back, the things that are negative, it impedes the growth of the positive things you're doing as well. He goes on. Again, hachiyuv mutal al kol mi shechafetzu uritzono likshar es atzmo b'yisparach shemo sheyakor kol hamachshavos haros milibo uimocho v'acharkach kisha holech umischazik ba'avodaso yisparach shemo. And that says the Ma'ar Vashemesh, that's the idea. So the problem is when I become a Bar Bas Mitzvah and I engage in dynamic activity, that's incredible. Dynamic activity ever only gets you so far. At some point in time, you have to do the onerous task of weeding. I have to identify the weeds that are sprouting up, and then I have to go ahead and find the courage to pluck them out. Says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh. That's the meaning of the Medrash. When Avraham Avinu was walking around the world, he saw that there are two different kinds of people. There are people who spend their lives just having fun. Just having fun. Life is a big party. What's the advantage of living life as a big party? Baksham, no one knows. Such a thoughtful group of people. Hey, it's a much easier life. The truth is, just enjoying yourself and being happy and living in the moment, it is such a great way to live. If you know any people like that, they generally seem to be the most carefree, happy people, right? I'm walking around with, like, I feel like a million pounds on my shoulders. I have this conversation with my wife that sometimes if I come home and, like, you know, the landscaper is there cutting the grass, I'm often jealous of him, right? He's sitting there on his mower. He's got his earphones on. He's smiling ear to ear. All right, maybe he's schwitzing a little bit, but he looks so happy. He looks so content. He's doing a good service. He has a good life. Probably go home, whatever it is. Simplicity. There are people who just live like that. Just simple lives. Avraham Avinu sees people who are just focusing on good meals, good drink, good people. Life is good. Avraham sees that and he says, you know what? There's got to be more to life than that. So he comes to Eretz Yisrael, comes to Canaan, and what does he see? He sees people pruning and plowing. Says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, pruning and plowing is a metaphor for successful living. Pruning and plowing means people who are engaging in dynamic, positive growth. That's the plowing. They're planting. They're readying themselves to plant. And the pruning refers to the people who find the courage to identify their personalistic weeds and find the courage to pluck them out of the ground. And says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, the order is precise. Because you can't plant anything meaningful in your personal field if you are not willing to weed. Weeding always comes before planting. Avraham Avinu sees this and he says, that's the secret to success. Being the type of person who finds the courage to identify the weeds, and we all have them. You could try to hide your weeds, you could fold them over, right? You could go ahead and put up a nice tall fence, but at the end of the day, the weeds are the weeds, and we all have them. You could ignore them, but what happens if you ignore your weeds? Right? They just get bigger. They just get bigger, and the roots grow even stronger, and it just takes more effort to go ahead and pull them out. We all have those weeds. Personality weeds, behavior weeds, hashkafa weeds, all different kinds of weeds that we have that grow and grow and grow. Avraham Avinu says, you know what? I don't want to be that kind of person. I'm going to be the kind of person that prunes, that uproots the weeds, get rid, and then I'm going to plant. But the order is specific. Identify, remove the weeds, clear the field, and then you could plant Emir Tzashem whatever you want. This was Avraham Avinu sees this as the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, and this becomes his metaphor for life. He sees the pruning, he sees the plowing, but there's two messages here in the pruning and plowing, says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh. Message number one is that you have to identify, we speak about this often, you have to identify the things that are holding you back in life and find the courage to let them go. And we all have it. There's no exception to this rule. We all have something. Halavai, it's only one thing that holds me back. Find the courage to identify it and let it go. But says Ma'ariv HaShemesh is another lesson. Sometimes when planting a field, right, in my extensive farming experience, sometimes when you plant something, it doesn't come out exactly right. So if you see the plant come up and it's beginning already, it's like a bit stunted in its growth, you also have to sometimes pull out the plant so that you could plant something else in its place. The pruning and plowing metaphor, says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, has this double message. Identify your weeds, pull them out so that you could plant something new, so that you could plant something significant. But also sometimes the things that you plant don't come out the way you thought they would. And so you have a choice. Find the courage to pull out the plant now and start over, or just pretend like the plant is fine. In other words, says the Ma'ariv HaShemesh, sometimes the hallmark of greatness is the willingness to start again. The willingness to start all over. The hallmark of greatness, the hallmark of Avraham Avinu, is that he sees people pruning and plowing. The Ma'ar V'Shem is pruning and plowing means sometimes you got to pull out what you planted because it just didn't work out well, and you have to start all over again. And sometimes you have to start all over again, over and over and over. You have to be willing to plow the soil and continuously start over. And then after I read this Ma'ar V'Shem, I realized that the truth is, this is the essence of Avraham Avinu's story. If you had to categorize Avraham Avinu's story, his entire life, in one phrase, what would it be? Starting over. Avraham Avinu is always starting over. I'll give you an example. Let's take a look at number 7. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a very powerful piece here. The Rav has a number of different essays on Avraham Avinu. And in this one, he speaks out the relationship between Terach and Avraham. So here the Rav writes in number 7, Terach so hated Avram that he denounced him and colluded to have him executed. So remember again, this is going back to the Rashi, it's about Ur Kasdim, right? Remember, it was Avram, it was Terach who turned Avram over to Nimrod. So literally again, a father willing to turn his own son over for execution. Later, I don't know how long it took, the same Terach saw the light and realized that Avram was right and society wrong. That his past was wrong, that a life dedicated to paganism and idolatry, to a cruel philosophy, to ideals in conflict with the basic principles of decency, was a waste. This was a tremendous change in Terach. What prompted Terach to act so strangely? What motivated him to break up his home, uproot his household, abandon luxury, convenience, renown, influence, and power, and become a wanderer, an immigrant, staying in a straying Chaldean? Surely the great revolution in Terach's thinking was precipitated by doubts, soul searching and reappraisal. In a word, it was the transvaluation of a Baal Tshuva that was responsible for the decision to abandon Ur Kasdim and start out for a primitive land where he planned to begin a new life. What Rabbi Soloveitchik is pointing out over here is, remember, you don't get this from Lech Lecha, but you can see this from the end of Noah. Terach planned on joining Avram Avinu for his journey to Canaan. Terach left with Avraham. They all left together. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, what happened to Terach? Terach has some type of spiritual awakening. He wanted to start again. He wanted to start all over. He wanted to go with Avram. God commanded Avram to emigrate from Ur Kasdim after Terach had undergone the great dramatic change and had decided to give up everything and go forth to a new world. Whether Terach knew of Avram's rendezvous with God in the fertile fields of Ur Kasdim under the starry night sky is hard to ascertain. Equally difficult to answer is the question of whether Avram ever told Terach about the instructions he received from God pertaining to the journey to an unknown country. However, all that is irrelevant. Listen to this line. What is important is the coincidence of revelation and free decision. When the command of Lech Lecha came and Avram began to pack his bags, he realized to his great surprise that his father's bags had already been packed long before. When Avraham Avinu gets the command for Lech Lecha and he's packing up his household, Terach says, when are we leaving? When are we leaving? Terach is going with Avram. Father and son, hitherto locked in moral combat, joined hands, and together started out on the great march to Canaan, away from the hustling and bustling cities of Chaldea, away from a highly developed country, away from a magical, well-organized, and disciplined social order. So this is amazing, right? Such a beautiful, and everyone lived happily ever after. Father and son, okay, they didn't get along so well, right, in the beginning. Terach handed Avraham Avinu over to be thrown into a fiery furnace, but that's just the detail. Stuff happens in families, right? The good news is, they reconciled. They reconciled. They're on the same theological page. Incredible. And so when Avraham Avinu begins his journey, he goes with his father. A new page. So if you're Avraham Avinu, you could have easily have said what? What could he have said to Terach, his father? Sorry, Dad. I love you. You're great. You should live and be well. Much hatzlach and mazel. I think too much water under the bridge. And I think you're going to go your way. I'm going to go my way. But Avraham doesn't do that. He's willing to start again in the relationship with his father. He's willing to start anew. He's willing to start all over again. But then something dramatic happens. Along the way, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu? What does he tell him? You have to continue without your father. Your father is not part of your destiny. Your father is going to do his own thing. You have to continue on to Canaan on your own. Do you understand what that means for Adam Avinu? Every child wants a relationship with their parents. Right? Even if the parent is not the best parent, deep down, right? Freud wasn't the first one to discover that our relationship with our parents is one of the most important life relationships we have. We already knew this earlier on. Adam Avinu finally has his father, right? He finally has his father. And then right when that relationship has become, when there's been reconciliation, what does Hashem say to him? Sorry, leave your father behind. Again, once again, starting over anew. Lech lecha. Adam Avinu is not a young man, right? He's already an older guy when the Lech Lecha comes, when the Kenai Lecha comes. He's married. He doesn't have a family yet, but he has a life. Willing to start again. Comes to Canaan. What happens first thing when he gets to Canaan? What's the first episode in the parasha? First episode? Vayirav Ba'aretz. There's a famine in the land. Relocate again. Start again. A new life in Mitzrayim. Fast forward a little bit. Chesh Baruch Hu promises him offspring. He has no offspring. Sarah says, marry Hagar. Avram starts again with Hagar. And this goes on and on. Bris Mila. Avram Avinu starts again Bris Mila at a well-advanced age. Akidas Yitzchak. A willingness to start a new chapter, potentially, without his beloved Yitzchak. What's the common theme over here? The common theme is that Avram Avinu is a man who is always willing to prune and plow. Prune and plow. Prune and plow. That is the secret to successful living. You know what the great challenge that most of us face? Is that the truth is we're unwilling to start over. I've got too much vested in this personality. Too much vested in my lifestyle. Too much vested in who I am and how I live. I know that I'm underperforming. I know that I could do better and I could be better. I've got to, I'm not a pruner, right? I'm not a pruner. I'm happy to do more good stuff, but I'm not really willing to start over. I'm not willing to pull anything out of the ground to make room for something new. The greatness of Avraham Avinu was that he was always willing to start over, always willing to begin again and again and again, no matter how many new beginnings it took. That's the meaning of the Medrash. Avraham Avinu comes to Canaan, and there was something about the pruning and the plowing that captured his imagination. Yes, a willingness to take away the things that hold me back, but more importantly, a willingness to start again and again and again, no matter how many times it takes. Starting over is very scary, right? Starting over is very scary. Remaking yourself is very scary. So the good news is, for most of us, we generally only think about this once a year, right? An yamim noraim. But you know, the Baal Shem Tov says, you know, we call cheshvan mar cheshvan. So people think it's called mar cheshvan, that it's bitter, there's no yamim tovim. For a Jew, there's no month that's bitter, right? Remember, again, even Chodesh Av, what does the Gemara say about, Mishnah say about Av? Mishanichnas Av? Mimatin b'simcha. What does mimatin b'simcha means? We diminish. But, it's still simcha. So if Chodesh Av is still a month of simcha, then how could Mar Cheshvan be a bitter month? And the Baal Shem Tov says something so beautiful. He says, if you take Mar Cheshvan, don't read it as two words, read it as one word. It's merachashin. Merachashin means whispering. Chodesh Cheshvan is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispers to us and says, don't stop evolving. We spent Chodesh Elul, we spent Chodesh Tishrei thinking about personalistic change. What am I going to do? How am I going to grow? How am I going to evolve? And then what happens? It's a lot of times, after Sukkot says, oh, we breathe a sigh of relief, right? And not just because Yom Tov is over, okay? Not just that, but because, you know, I breathe a sigh of relief? Because I'm tired of thinking so much about life, right? I'm really looking forward to getting back into my schedule and kind of just settling into who I am. And I'm tired of like always thinking so much about where am I going? What am I doing? What am I going to accomplish? For one day, I just want to go to work. Actually looking forward to going to work and not thinking about anything great about myself. Kadosh Baruch Hu, what happens? Comes Chodesh Cheshvan. It's Merachashin. Kadosh Baruch Hu whispers in our ears and he says, don't stop. Don't stop. You were right in Elul, and you were right in Tishrei about thinking about life, about new beginnings. New beginnings don't stop when the sukkah is put back into the garage, right? New beginnings don't stop when the Yom Tov season is over. The pruning and the plowing is the avoda of the Jew throughout the year. The willingness to uproot the things that I've planted, because you know what? They're not the right plants for me. And plant something else instead. Use that fertile soil to create something else. That says the Ma'ar V'Shemesh is the greatness of Avraham Avinu. The Torah, it's true, doesn't give us an incredible introduction to Avram, because it doesn't have to. Because all you need to do is look at the Pesukim in Avram, and you could just simply see that he was a pruner and he was a plower. He was a man who was willing to go ahead and identify the weeds that were holding him back and remove them. He was a man who was willing to say that sometimes the things that you plant are not the things that you need going forward. And you have to find the courage to get rid of the old plants to make room for the new. And if we bring this all together, so it turns out that from these different approaches, we understand, A, number one, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu, and we also understand the recipe for personalistic greatness. So we have essentially three different understandings. We have the Rabbeinu Bachya and Rashi, who explained to us that at the end of the day, Avraham Avinu was chosen because of his unwavering fidelity and allegiance to his values. So ingredient number one for greatness is identify what you believe in and live by it. Forget about dying by it. Halavai, none of us should have to die for our beliefs. We're not talking about dying for your beliefs. Live by your beliefs. Make sure what you believe in is reflected on how you live each and every day. Number two, the Sfas Emes. Avraham Avinu was that introduced. Why? Because God didn't choose Avram. Avram chose God. Ingredient number two for greatness is don't wait for opportunities to come to you. If you want something out of life, go and get it. Success and opportunity does not show up at your doorstep. If you want it, you have to get it. The burning bush didn't come to Moshe. Moshe went to the burning bush. Lech Lecha wasn't directed to Avram. It was directed to everyone. Just Avraham Avinu was the first one who stopped to listen. If you want greatness in life, it's not going to show up. You have to go and seek it out. And answer number three, or approach number three, is the Ma'ar V'Shemesh. Why was Avraham Avinu chosen out of a world full of humanity? Because Avraham Avinu valued the power of pruning and planting. And this becomes ultimately, again, the third ingredient for success. Having the courage to prune and to plant in both aspects of the Ma'ar V'Shemesh's idea. Number one, to identify the weeds. Those weeds could be the things that are holding you back. The things that are taking up valuable nutrients in your garden of life. The things that are taking away vitality from the other things you want to do. Find the courage to get rid of your weeds, your mida weeds, your behavior weeds, whatever it might be, find the courage to get rid of it. And aspect number two is sometimes the things we plant don't turn out the way that they should. Instead of just letting it sit in the soil and just rot, find the courage to pluck it out and to start all over again. What makes great people great, or one of the things that makes great people great, is a willingness to start over again. There's not one of us that gets it right on the first time. When I say it, it's anything in life. We don't get anything right the first time. We don't get parenting right the first time. That's why hopefully by the time we get a couple of kids in, maybe like we've gotten the handle of this, right? So we don't get parenting right the first time. No one gets marriage right in the beginning. It always takes time to be able to figure out anything in life that you try. Most of us, if we're career people, don't just come into your career. It takes a little. Everything in life takes planting. And sometimes when you plant, you have to uproot it and start again. We're so scared to start again because we have so much invested in the personalities we've created and the lifestyles we've created. So sometimes we just suffice with a compromised garden. But Avraham Avinu teaches us, find the courage to start over as many times as you need to in order to get it right. And if you find the courage to pull out the weeds, first of all, you'll have a lot more nutrients to go ahead and nourish the plants, the dynamic positive activity. And if you pull out the weeds and find the courage to start again, there's no telling what we could accomplish. Stop over here. Next week, there is no shiur here. There's a special shiur. I think it's next week. For yes, at WIT, I think same time, 8 o'clock, part of the, I'm giving the shiur there. It's on the topic of Shabbos. I forgot the exact title, but it's in conjunction with the Shabbos project. So again, same time, 8 o'clock, just not here. Emir Hashem, Ben Jacob, Shari Zion.